What's up, you guys? Back with another episode of the podcast, and today I am joined by Will Mulvaney. Will is a friend of mine that I met at the Awakened Warriors men's group, and a quick side note is I want to say I think you're like the fifth guy I've had on from that group. So anybody living in Austin who is like a young man who wants to meet like-minded young men and who focus on like self-improvement and are just, you know, overall good people, highly recommend you go check out that group. I'll put it in the show notes. Awakened Warriors here in Austin, Texas. Will has become a good friend of mine, and he's also the host of a meetup group called The Approach here in Austin. And this group, I'm going to have you explain it in a second, but it's pretty much a group where he pulls a bunch of guys together, and the whole objective is to approach generally women that they're attracted to boost self-esteem and to boost confidence and to get better at expressing yourself. And he is also the co-host of a podcast called The Art of the Approach. And I'll link that in the show notes as well, but it's mainly a podcast about dating and relationships. Yeah, brother.
Thanks, dude.
I'm happy to have you today. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, brother. Man, what's going on? What's going on with you? We can start with some like light conversation. We'll just start with anything crazy, you know? How you been?
Good. Let's talk about the group a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the meetup group is called Dumping Dating Apps.
Okay.
And we have monthly events on there for this approach meetup. We just meet in the park. And again, it's mostly guys. Sometimes some women come through. A lot of people will sign up for these and they'll RSVP and then they don't show up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've had people they're like, I can't find parking. And then we never see them. It's a very intimidating thing to go into, to be like, going to a group where, you know, people are going to go approach women. I like what you said. It's like, it doesn't have to be approaching women. Like it's scary to talk to strangers. But I do know for guys, a lot of guys, like talking to someone you're attracted to is like the scariest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the funniest thing because it's like the biggest fear in our head, the scariest thing, comes in the form of like this beautiful woman.
Like, that is true. Yeah.
It's crazy. So crazy. And it's like this beautiful woman has like the ability to destroy us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Absolutely demolish who we,
yes,
think we are. Just crush us.
Yeah.
Totally. It's wild.
So, yeah. And so a big part of the group is learning how to express yourself and not be crushed and not be destroyed. But you have to take some hits in the process. That's the whole thing. That's a big part of it.
So
if anyone's interested in that, I mean, check us out on meetup.com. And then we also have a group that meets weekly, which is a little more private, which I tend to just invite people that are regulars at the group or people I know that are serious about it. I'm curious what you think about the group. So you've gone a couple times.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's amazing. I mean, I think I actually worked with a life coach. His name's Nick Stupful. I worked with a life coach. He actually came on here and talked with me. He was one of the first guests I had on, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's something he had me go and do is like, all right, you're going to go to the park and you're going to approach three girls or something like that.
Yep.
And the whole point of it wasn't even necessarily to meet someone and that I'm going to date, even though that's obviously like, who doesn't want to date? Who doesn't want a relationship? Who doesn't want that? But it was more so just to get over that fear of rejection, you know? Because I think that's one thing I communicated to him was like, my self-esteem is really low. And like a lot of the women around me, I'm not confident enough to approach him. So he had me go and do that alone a little mm-hmm. bit, and that was terrifying. But it was good. I like realized, and like approaching girls at the gym and being totally scared and then talking to them, there's just a lot you can learn. And yeah, your group, what's so great about it is when you go and meet up with a group of people with the intention of doing that, one, they're going to push you to do it, you know, which is uncomfortable. Yeah. Remember, we went once, I was with you, and
you were like, about it,
yeah, you were like, hey, you're going to go ask around? You're going to ask around? I'm like, no, stop. And I think you'd even ask me, like, do you want me to encourage you? And I was like, no, don't, because it makes me feel nervous. But later that week, I ended up, it bugged me so much that I was unable to do it that day that I started doing it in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's still like, so yeah, it's the encouragement that's so great. And on top of that, having someone to push you to go do it because it's scary and you're going to talk yourself out of it. Having someone to push you, sometimes you're going to go talk to a girl or whatever, and they're going to reject the shit out of you, or they're going to make fun of you, or rarely, most of the time, like 90% of the time, I feel like people are flattered and they're very kind.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you'll have an experience that sucks, that just doesn't really feel good, mm-hmm. makes you feel like shit. So then you can fall back on this group of people who like support you, and they're like, good stuff, you know, they celebrate you for it.
Great job for going and doing it.
Yeah. Which is, I think you were expressing, like when you go alone, sometimes if you have a really bad experience, you're just sitting in that pain.
Yep.
And you just like, what the fuck am I doing? And like, it's terrible, and you have to deal with it yourself.
Yeah. It's like whatever her reaction was to what you were doing was like, that's all you have. Yeah. You don't have anyone else to be like, oh no, you're doing mm-hmm. a good thing here.
To point out the great things that just happened.
Yeah.
And how you just grew from that.
Yeah. You only get her, whatever she just said to you.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that mm-hmm. response is like the worst, is when it feels like the girl is like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you talking to me? That feels pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But what I think most of the time, the rejections that seem the worst, for me at least, are ones where I just feel awkward. And it's like, if I had just stuck around and like, I feel like I get a weird response from her on the first part of the interaction, and then I just leave after mm-hmm. that, or I leave mm-hmm. too quickly.
You take it as a loss, and you just, all right, let's leave right now.
When like, really I should be giving her some grace, because I just like burst into her world and mm-hmm. like interrupted whatever she was doing, and it might just take her a second to be like, oh shit, like this guy's talking to me. Mm-hmm. So getting over that initial hump is, that can be tricky, because especially if you're not sure of yourself, of what you're doing, like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm here to talk to women and mm-hmm. see what's up.
Yeah.
But yeah, the working, being in a group of guys approaching, there can be a weird dynamic where if not everyone's like super on board, like I have one friend who he's just like on it. And he's like, this is what we're doing. Like if he sees someone, he's like, oh, I gotta go.
You're talking about Avi?
Yes, Avi. Dude.
Shout and out if, Avi.
Yeah, dude, he's the man. And we have like different types of girls we're attracted to. Very different. And so a girl will walk by and she'll be like of my type. And then I'll like, sometimes I keep walking and like I pretend I didn't see her, and he's like, dude, like,
yeah.
Are you gonna So that's the best kind. Of like dynamic in the group. Sometimes though, you get, you end up with someone who's like a little nervous themselves, and they might be avoiding it as well. And so if you're new to this, you definitely want to find someone who is like, this is what we're doing.
Who's going to push you.
Who's going to push you. Mm. I had one a couple weeks ago where I was with, someone at the group, and like, I was hung up on this girl that I've been seeing. So I wasn't really in the mood to approach at all. And he was like in his head about something. And so neither of us were even like looking really. We were just walking around the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You kind of get nothing done.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like that. There is that thing you were talking about, like where I was like pushing you too much. Because there's different people have different like motivation styles. Some people work well with a lot of pressure. Like there's one guy who like, I have to be like, go, you are going to go talk to her. Okay. Go, like, there's no other option here. That's what's happening. And then he'll do it. Uh-huh. And then other people, I have to like, just let them come to it on their own terms.
I think I'm one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, at least that day, like when you were talking to me about it and when you were telling me, it was making me withdraw. Like I was shutting down.
Right.
And then later towards the end, it took me all the entire group. But later towards the end, I finally just, I was sitting in silence because I was so upset with myself for not ever trying. And then I finally was like, okay, there's a girl over there. Fuck it. Let's go. You know? And then so it was all me. It was all like, I had to go away and like sit with it and be like, okay, we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's great,
dude. I don't know if that could ever, I don't know. Maybe it would work on me if you like, just push me like, dude, you're going to fucking go right now.
That girl there. Yeah,
go right now. Because maybe if you push me to fucking do it afterwards, I would realize like, oh, I wasn't that bad. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. There's definitely a power in approaching alone, though. Like learning to, that skill of getting rejected and then being okay with it. There's one I can remember that did not feel good. I was talking to this girl at Zilker Park, and she was like I gave her a compliment. It was nice. We had a nice little conversation, and then I was like, I gotta get going, but I would love to see you sometime. And she just went, yeah, I don't think so. And that fucking stung so bad. That was one where I wanted to leave the park. I was like, that's it. I went and like sat down for a second and just like took a few breaths, and then I was okay.
Did you go with the intention of like approaching multiple people?
Yeah.
And that one kind of made you start shutting down.
That one made me, but then there was someone else I went and talked to after that. And so then I was okay. Brought myself back into it. And yeah, my whole beginning of doing this was all alone. 100%. The first time I like went and did this with someone else was like 3 or 4 months into it. And that was like nerve-wracking because now I have like someone else.
If you don't mind saying here on the podcast.
Who?
Yeah, who?
It was with Tim.
Okay.
It was before. So Tim started this group like in like 2022 or something, like a long time ago. And then I met Tim in June of last year. And then I was just doing approaches all on my own. And I would check in with him about it. But the first time we actually went together was like in like September, October. And that's when we started doing the meetup groups regularly. So for most of my time, I was just doing them alone. And I would just do 3 a day, every day. It was like standard.
Did Tim kind of encourage you to do that initially? Or was that just like you set that bar for yourself?
No, he helped me set that bar. Mm-hmm. But then like he wouldn't like check in about it. But I was like, I need to have my 3 a day. Like I need to hit those numbers.
That's crazy.
And then this year, I grew so much from doing those that I had it set in my mind. Like I need to be doing 3 a day just as like a consistency thing. It's like if you're going to the gym every day and like doing, you know, you don't have to do a lot, but if you're doing consistently, it really builds up. And so I was doing 3 a day this whole year until like last week was the first week where I, and again, this fucking girl, it's like, she's the reason.
Well, one thing I want to add is because like going to the group, it's mainly you that I've noticed that... do you think Avi would care if we talk, like,
mention? I don't think so. No.
You don't think so?
He's been in our, like, Instagram videos, so doing approaches.
Okay. I was hesitating, but that's why I was pausing there. But I noticed you and Avi both have this kind of, no hesitation mentality, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something y'all have, like, developed. Would you say that that's just, like, it's like, so when you're saying consistency and it's important that you do it every day, it's because you kind of I guess you lose the confidence or you lose whatever it may be over time, just like going to the gym. Like it's almost like a muscle, that like confidence or that self-esteem, or I don't know, just learning that impulse of when you want to talk to somebody, just go and do it instead of thinking about it.
Yeah, you know, that's a big part of it for sure. Mm-hmm. So part of it is like the building the, I don't know, like the pattern in your mind of like, when I see someone I want to talk to, I go talk to her, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. So the more you do it, the more regularly you do it, the better you'll get at doing that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, again, just the consistency of like, you can learn a lot from doing these approaches. And there's like a clear, there's harder approaches. And it's like, you can build your way up to like, oh, now I can talk to a group of girls. Now I can do this, whatever. And so just by doing more, you learn a lot more. And you learn a lot more about yourself in the process. So now I'm getting to the point where I'm trying to, I've realized that there are other ways I can push myself in this area. It doesn't have to be approaches. And like, if you, do you know like the Pareto principle? Mm-hmm. It basically says like 80% of returns come from 20% of inputs in anything. So like in business, like 20% of the, or 80% of the market is controlled by like 20% of people mm-hmm. in the market. And so I feel like I've hit my, where I've done 20% at least. And so from now on, like returns that come from approaching are kind of diminishing a little bit for me. So I need to like find a new area to grow in.
So you mean, no, I'm confused.
Okay. You take a guy who's like terrified to approach. He's never talked to a girl in public before. And you get him doing approaches, he's going to grow so fast, mm-hmm. right? So he only has to do like a little bit of work and he'll get a ton of results. Now, if he does this for 6 months, he does like the 20%. It's at this point, like the returns are diminishing. There's not as, he's not getting as much as he was in the beginning.
So you're saying you have to do something other than simply approach? Like there's
other, I think there's other areas that mm-hmm. you can focus. It's mm-hmm. like, we like doing the things that we're good at. But the things we're not good at is where like mm-hmm. so much growth is available. And so that's like what I'm thinking about now. It's like, what are the other things?
Yeah. What are the other things? I'm curious.
So I think, I mean, dating and relationships, I think there's a lot you can learn from those. And so, yeah.
I think that's like, the I guess next. You've tackled like the having the self-esteem, the courage. You built up your confidence to approach new women mm-hmm. and get over rejection. But now there's like communicating with a partner.
Yeah.
Which is like a whole other realm. It's a
different thing.
Yeah.
Like building up the self-worth to like be able to walk away from a relationship or be able to communicate exactly what you want without mm-hmm. needing the other person's approval.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot there. A
whole nother realm.
That I'm going to be digging into, hopefully, mm-hmm. At some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like now I can treat approaching as more of like a... I don't need to just shotgun blast mm-hmm. approach every single girl I see.
Mm. Yeah. Because I feel like the whole point of doing it in the first place is to... not meet a bunch of women, but just have the tools to meet the women that you really want to, you know?
Yeah.
Like if a situation ever arose.
Right.
Like we were talking about a girl yesterday. I'm not going to say her name. Yeah. but I was like, man, she's so beautiful and like so out of my league. And it's like I feel like approaching and all like the initial approach and overcoming rejection would really help me to just develop the courage and confidence just to go out and talk to that girl, right? Yeah. 'Cause she's obviously a girl that I'm attracted to. Yeah. So yeah, this isn't necessarily going to help me say I was dating her, communicate with her and work through those other things that are important, but at least I can initially reach out to those women and like see what's there, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's an important like first. I wouldn't even say first step. It's just an important aspect that you need to get improve at.
Yeah.
Building your confidence and your self-esteem.
Yes. You have to feel worthy of someone before you can like truly have an opportunity to like date them. I think we talked about this yesterday, but I believe that is the only qualifier for a guy.
Confidence
is himself. The belief that you are worthy of this person,
mm-hmm.
that you can be dating them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not how
Which is like a hard thing to build. And I still don't even like always feel that way. Yeah. Plenty of the time I don't.
It's a tough thing to quantify too.
Mm-hmm.
Or like how do you build that? You know, like what are the actionable steps? Like, I feel like that's really tough because it's all like internal. It's hard to measure
right.
how much you believe in yourself, you know,
Or
how much confidence you have.
And I think it's kind of an on and off switch. It's like sometimes you feel confident, mm-hmm. sometimes you don't. And it's just like, how can I maximize the time that I feel confident?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it ever goes away, the feelings of unworthiness. Like they'll always come up,
yeah.
but it's just like, how can I mitigate them? How can I make them lesser?
So I guess it's like a personal thing. Everyone kind of has to find their ways of like, you have to ask yourself, what are things that I can do or that I do that make me feel really great about myself? You know?
Yeah.
Like whether it's like, I don't know. I'm thinking about like actionable steps. Like what could I do every day to increase my confidence? Mm-hmm. And like things that have helped me have been like, you know, journaling and like, having conversations like this with people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then like, I think going to the gym and stuff like that.
The gym's good.
I think it's like a good foundation.
Yeah. But yeah, it is so hard because I have some friends who are like, have been telling me like I base a lot of my self-worth on like things I do. It's like, if I can do this thing, then I feel good about myself.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then they're like, oh, you should have inherent self-worth. And that's kind of the thing I struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm like, what's the thing that's worthy if it's not what I can do? You know, mm-hmm. what else is there?
I think that's a constant battle. Like you were just saying though, about how like it's always going to creep up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're always going to have to fight with that a little bit. But yeah. Yeah. 'Cause that's why it's so difficult. That's why approaching is hard, is because you were saying like, what can I do to be worthy? Well, like another way of looking at that is like, if this girl likes me, then I'm worthy, you mm-hmm. know, like mm-hmm. it's like seeking validation. Like, so when you approach a girl, like she might tell you you're like the most attractive guy ever and you'll feel super great about yourself, but she also might reject you. And then when you're coming from that place of validation seeking, you feel like shit after that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's okay. My thought is, I know what I've done and I know the kind of person that I have to be to do those things. That's the thing I have to feel.
So you,
the like worthiness of.
You're saying you look back on like who you are, who you've become. Like
I guess
what you it's have like done to get here.
Or maybe it's like I know what I'm capable of doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where that inherent like self-worth is.
And then also you were saying like the intention. Is that?
I'm saying like the, okay. So I'm trying to move away from what I'm doing, making me worthy, because doing is kind of externally dependent. So it's more like the thing inside me that does these things or wants to do these things. I guess the intention there. That's something you can feel. You can derive self-worth from.
Can you repeat that?
The thing in you that makes you want to do the things, to strive for that higher purpose. That's the thing that you can derive self-worth from.
The thing in you that wants to strive for that higher purpose. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, where does that come from?
The thing inside of you? Dude, that's the spirit of man, bro. That's just the... I think everyone has that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Some people agree. Have quieted it or they don't listen to it. But I think everyone has it.
So by that thing, are you kind of thinking about like imagining the version of yourself that is... like something that like wants like is imagining your potential and like
yeah, I guess a life that like, good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like because I'm almost imagining yeah like a life where like I'm able to date like this beautiful woman that mm-hmm. I'm picturing in my head. And I'm able to express myself around her and everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And like, so I guess that thing could be,
What is it that you want with her?
Nothing with her specifically. I think that she's just beautiful and I find her really attractive.
Okay. Let's just say some female.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you want?
Yeah. Like a partnership where we both like support each other and spend time together doing things that we enjoy, but also like pushing each other to improve. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The fact that you want all those things, I mean, it's beautiful, but I think you can, yeah, that's something about you inherently that you want those things. Yeah. So I think there's self-worth that you can draw from that.
To be like, yeah.
Oh, I'm that fucking guy who wants that.
Mm-hmm.
And you want, you know, whatever that relationship is with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one way of thinking about it.
Yeah. Why do you think we grow when we're rejected? Like, what is there to learn from that?
Why is it serves as like a mirror.
Okay.
And it pulls up things from our subconscious that we weren't really, so the way I think about it, and I think we might've talked about this yesterday.
I think so.
We have all of these stories running in the background that we aren't really aware of. And these parts of us that are telling us, like, you're not good enough. You're not this. She doesn't like you. And then when you get rejected, those parts are like, see, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to come to the front. So it's bringing those things to light. I think that's where the growth is. And then you get to be like, oh, shit, that thing was talking to me this whole time. So the example I talked about yesterday, was this girl not texting me one day and me having just like an overreaction to that, but it was just the same stories I had been telling, coming to the surface because those stories have been getting like pushed away by like external evidence. Like, oh yeah, she likes me. She texts me back. We spend time together, like, oh, she definitely likes me. And then as soon as I didn't have that, those all came to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So rejection just serves as like a, something that pulls things from your subconscious to the forefront of your mind.
Yeah. And it reveals them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can see them. So I guess that's why it really sucks for guys who really don't want to approach like, or like really like, oh my God, so afraid of doing it. They know because it's going to bring up these thoughts and they believe them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like they haven't actually worked with them yet or like found a way to clean them out,
yeah,
you know, and like replace them.
Yep.
Maybe. And so, yeah, they come up and they just eat at them because they believe them. And mm-hmm. they're like settled. They're like, yeah, I knew it. Yeah. Like you were saying. Yeah, I knew. I knew she didn't like me. I knew she was going to reject me. Fuck.
Right.
Why the fuck did I do this? This sucks.
And you're like, oh, yeah. I'm a piece of shit. And she just confirmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And there, that, yeah, it's that part that's like, yep, mm-hmm. that's what I said. I told you that. So going through rejection, you get to practice. And I don't really know the ideal way of doing this. I'm not like a psychologist or anything, but I know one way is to beat it with like better talk. Mm-hmm. Like the, I'm the fucking man, like that
shit.
But yeah, like you were saying, you gotta like clean it out. And if you never have looked at it, if you've never looked at those thoughts directly, it's scary. It's very scary.
Yeah. So like, I know you're not a psychologist. I'm not either. So everybody's different, you know, like overcoming this problem and learning to replace those thoughts is going to be a different process for everyone. But for you, like one thing you told me is in your journal, you'll write, I'm the fucking shit.
I'm the fucking man.
I'm the fucking man.
Over and over.
Yeah. And like, has there been anything else that's helped you?
I don't really know if there's anything else I've done so intentionally.
Mm-hmm. But it's
for sort of... just for like building confidence in general. I've developed more of a focus on like self-gratitude and self-love and self-worth in general. It's just something I try to think about more.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate myself more for what I have done and kind of like just like the life I've built. But yeah, it's, I don't know if I have any concrete things that I do.
Do you notice the negative thoughts when they come up more now that you've been like focusing on it?
I think so.
A thought that comes up that says like, oh, you couldn't approach that girl. That girl is,
she's too good for
way too good for you. Like, do you notice those messages more? You feel like, and try to replace them?
I think so. I guess I don't have those thoughts as much anymore.
Hmm.
My those type of thoughts for me come later in dating now, where it's like, oh, if she sees the real me, she's not gonna like me.
Hmm.
That's gonna be it.
So new thing you're working with, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that, we could talk about that. Embracing uniqueness has been a new thing for me.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Embracing the fact that I'm different than the normal and being okay with that. So my entire life, I feel like I've been trying to fit into, you know, the way everyone else acts. Do you know Alex Hormozi?
Mm-mm.
Okay, he's like a, I don't know what you call him. He's like an entrepreneur, but he talks about, he's big on like Instagram and he has a podcast and stuff. And he said something that was like, if you are different, you are exceptional. If you want to be exceptional, you have to be different. And those are basically the same thing. Different is the same as exceptional. Like, you're an exception. You're different.
Mm.
And so recognizing that, when I heard that, I realized, oh, I don't want to fit in. My whole life I've been thinking that that is what I want to do. I want to hide and like fit in and not get too much attention. And then I realized that I don't want that. And I don't fit in.
There is a sense too, sorry to interrupt you. There is a sense of like, love. I don't want to call it love, but like that you get when you're accepted by people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not love. That's not the right word, but like it kind of feels good to when people accept you. You know what I mean? It feels okay. It feels good. That's like a baseline. At least I've noticed that, because I struggle with that. You know, not like speaking up when I disagree, because then I won't receive that love of acceptance that like, you know, feels good. But I think that there's also a lot more love and joy and whatever you can find whenever you're doing something that you believe in or you're pursuing something that you care about, right? So like, I think that, yeah, like we seek acceptance because we want that. It's the comfortable, you know?
Yeah, it's comfortable. I think that's
a better word. Yeah.
The other thing is like, if you accept yourself, it's like, do you really need anyone else to accept you? Mm-hmm. You know, that might be what's behind it all, is like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to accept myself, so I want to make sure that I'm accepted by other people. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can build with which is through like, which Derek from the Awakened Warriors, like, he said something during a breathwork session where he was like, repeat after me in your head, like, I forgive you. Or no, I'm sorry. I forgive you. I love you. Hmm. And just being like sorry to yourself and then like forgiving yourself. Because when we don't accept ourselves, it's because there's some clash of like, why did you do that? Like, I don't think you should have done that. But as soon as you're able to forgive yourself, then you can be like, okay, I see why you did that. I understand it. It's okay. I love you. So yeah, having that kind of self-acceptance, I think, helps take away from that need for the group acceptance. Hmm. Because it's like, I'm going to have my back no matter what. Yeah, I forget what we were talking about before that.
I don't know. But I know what you mean. Like that kind of goes into like approaching, like, because you're working on building that inner voice inside of you that loves and accepts you, so that you don't, that way you don't need that rejection. That way you don't need that validation from like the girl you approach or whatever.
Right. Yeah, you have it for yourself.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
I was going somewhere. I don't know where though. I don't remember.
What I asked you before, or
we were talking about dating and me being afraid of showing my Okay, I remember now. The exceptional different. So it's like accepting that I'm gonna be different, then that makes me feel more okay to show myself to a woman, to be like, this is who I am. Especially dating and getting more serious,
getting better at owning it. Yeah.
And so I realized like whoever I am is going to be, I'm going to be more attractive if I'm just showing exactly who I am. Whereas if I'm trying to hide myself and fit into a certain box, I'm going to be less attractive, at least to the right person. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's taking ownership over like, yeah, I'm fucking weird. I do a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. What came up for me when you were talking about that was that what you and Tim said to me yesterday, I think, I can't remember what brought it up, was that something about like taking ownership of who you are. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. So, because we were talking about specifically approaching girls. We were talking about how I approached a girl at the gym and I was looking around like, oh, what do these people think of me? And then y'all were like, well, you have to take ownership of the fact that like, this is something you do, like, so that when you go and do it, you're not like worried about like other people and what they think of you. You have to like step into that. Like, oh, I'm a guy who goes and approaches girls at the gym. Mm-hmm. I'm a guy who does whatever it is. And like, like taking ownership of the repercussions of that, like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. like say, because like part of me gets afraid, say if I go approach a girl at the gym and there's a bunch of people around, like I'm worried about what they think of me. I'm worried about like, why, like, what the fuck is this guy, like, why is he hitting on this girl at the gym? It's not the place for that, like, mm-hmm. get out of here, dude, you know. And like, what if I accept that the fact that like, yeah, some people are going to react like that, but that's what I'm doing. That's who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. And if I offend somebody, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. But I came from this place with like a good intention, you know, like taking ownership of like, that's who I am, because, most people don't do that, you know? Like if you're coming from a place of wanting to fit in with the people around you, like you're going to stand out when you go and just approach girls at the park, you know?
Yeah.
Because most people do not do that. I'm going on a rant. I'm trying to find like direction here, but like I was just at the grocery store earlier and I was just literally thinking about that because I just wanted to have a better attitude. Like I wanted to lift my chest up and be kind to people. And mm-hmm. like, I wanted to look people in the eyes more, but like people don't really do that. You know, I feel like people don't really look each other in the eyes that much in public. They're not like super, like you almost stand out if you want to walk around and feeling proud, like, you know, cause I feel like most people just don't do that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to take ownership of like walking around and feeling mm-hmm. proud.
I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah. I'm going to be that guy. And when I walk up to the cash register, I'm going to be like, hi, how are you doing? And I'm going to be positive and kind, even though most people don't do that. It's a little bit, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just not normal. So it feels uncomfortable, but like, no, I'm going to take ownership of this. And yeah.
And it feels better too.
Yeah, it
does. For you, it does. Yeah. We had talked about, or you had, we had like a text conversation going about expressing like happiness, expressing joy. It's kind of similar. It's like not,
yeah.
It feels weird to express, just be happy in public. Mm-hmm. For me, it's, feels like I need to be like very serious and like mm-hmm. task oriented mm-hmm. and I can't just like take a second to be happy and like mm-hmm. smile at people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as soon as you're just like, I'm that guy, I'm the friendly guy, but then it's like, okay, that's who I am now.
Mm-hmm. And you're accepting how people are going to receive you for it. If yeah. they receive you like, oh, why is this guy so happy? Or if they love you for it, doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, no, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm. There was something there I was thinking of, which is, do you feel the need to over-explain yourself? Do you think? Okay. Because I have had that before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where I feel like I need to make it everything clear. Like, this is why I'm doing this and this is the thing.
Yeah.
So with like the approaching, it's like people might see you and not be sure about you and be like, oh, what's this guy doing? We're at the gym. He shouldn't be doing that. But you have to have this kind of like security of, I know exactly what I'm doing. If someone cares to ask me, like, I'll fucking tell them exactly what I'm doing. But I don't need to like make it so clear to them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, if they're not willing to come and ask me about it, then they don't get to know. Like they don't, mm-hmm. they can just assume whatever they want about me. Mm-hmm. So it's having like, security in like what you're doing and being like comfortable with, this is who I am. This is what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely something you got to build. It may take a while.
Yeah.
Sometime. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's important. I was going to add something to that. I forgot. I'm thinking about it. Yes. Okay. So at, about expressing joy and like around people. Yeah. Cause I feel like around that, I feel like sometimes when I'm around people who may not be in a state of joy, you know, mm-hmm. or maybe we're sad, I'm afraid to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, like I don't want
to offend. Feels like you have to match their energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't. And you know, like most people I feel like aren't, I'm not going to say aren't happy, but like they're not really joyful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you start feeling that, it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
It could be giving them the invitation though. That's the other thing, the permission. If you're happy, then they get the chance.
Yeah.
Because you know, like those friends you have where they're like, bring it out of you. I have one friend from high school who would just like look at me with this like, or like he would look at everybody, but he would just have that kind of like glimmer in his eye. Like, dude. And like, it just was so much fun to be around him because he had that.
Just lift people up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's definitely something I've been trying to get better at, though. Not just, like you said, matching people's energy.
Dude, you know when someone tells you about something bad that happened to them, and you feel like you have to, like, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I want to figure out how not to do that.
Yeah.
Because they don't even probably want that. Like, they don't want you to, like, feel bad for them. Just come with some better energy. Feel a little happier.
Yeah. I don't know where that comes from either. I don't know why I feel like I need to match people's energy or I'm going to offend people if I'm happy. Or bring people down if I'm sad. I don't think he'd mind. Like, I'll shout out, like, to Derek. Like, he always comes in there, sit in the circle in the men's group, and he's got this big smile on his face. He's just... just looks around at everybody. Right. He doesn't ever offend anybody, you know? Like, he's if anything, it makes you want to smile, too. I don't know.
Yeah, if you're having the worst day, and you see Derek, like, that would never make you feel bad. Yeah.
I don't know why we think this. We think like this, you know?
Yeah.
It's like... That's weird.
Yeah, I like what Mike says, where he's like, I just really care about how I feel. That's a good way to think about it. It's like, how do you want to feel? You probably want to feel joyful. So stop worrying about what other people think about it and just be, feel how you want to feel. And then in doing that, you actually like become that light in the world. But it's like, you have to initially be selfish and like,
yeah,
you have to look I in just want to feel good.
You have to look in here.
Yeah, totally. I just want to feel good, and then by me feeling good, I can actually make other people feel good.
Yeah, man. I want to talk about your health and fitness journey a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it, dude.
Yeah, man.
I was just talking to someone about longevity before this.
Okay.
Also,
yeah, do you have a time frame?
No.
Cool.
We are open-ended. So, let's see. In high school, I was always pretty... I had a desire to like go work out, and I did a couple times. Like, I would spend like 3 months in the gym and then give up. And then freshman year of college is when I hit. And so for people who haven't, who have never found that routine of like getting in the gym, I think the trick is you have to set like a 6 month time period where you're like, I'm going to do this for 6 months. Because the thing in college that got me hooked was like one day in the mirror, I noticed like my chest looked a little different. And then I was like, all right, fuck, this is awesome. And I had never had that in high school. Like, I never noticed any significant change. And so that's why I never got hooked and why I would go for like 3 months and then quit. Because it feels like what you're doing isn't getting you anywhere. And then as soon as you get that one little thing where you notice it, then you're like, this is what I'm doing now. So yeah, you have to just like set a time where you're like, I'm just going to do the gym for this amount of time. I don't care what, like, I'm not looking for any results. And then after that, then decide like, I'm going to keep doing this or not. So that was my like gym. Since then, so it's been like 5 years of regular working out, and I've had a few different like, you know, switches in the way I do it, but it's been relatively straightforward. I think the biggest thing with working out is consistency by far. You could have like the shittiest routine, but you do it 5 days a week and like you'll do better than someone who has like some like scientific back thing that they do once and then they quit after 2 months or whatever. So definitely find a way to build consistency. For me that came down to like making it enjoyable, because I've had workout I don't know what you want, like splits, I guess, that I would do in the past where I did not like it. It was like too much. And I would like dread working out. I'd be like, fuck, I have legs today. Mm-hmm. And like the whole work day, I was just thinking about like.
Yeah, because you were like pushing yourself really hard or.
Yeah, I was pushing myself really hard. Mm-hmm. I would do like that, like a whole like deadlift, squat, leg press. And like, it's just a lot.
Very consistent, like rough routine. Yeah. Like designed to like really make you improve, but it was just too much.
It was too much. Yeah. And so I was like dreading it the whole day whenever I had them. And then in the past like 2 years, it's more of like, what do I had to start with like going, I would go to the gym and I'd be like, what do I want to do today? Mm-hmm. And I would do that. Now it's a little bit more regimented, but it's still enjoyable. Like I never go to the gym and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm at the gym. Mm-hmm. It's always like, oh, okay, I'm at the gym. This mm-hmm. is nice. Mm-hmm. Do something I want to do.
Yeah.
So however you can build consistency without burning out is figure that out and then just do it. Like mm-hmm. set it and then let it play in the background of your life, basically. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're not like a professional bodybuilder, like you don't need, it shouldn't be your primary focus in life. It should be mm-hmm. something you just figure out and then forget about it. Just keep doing it regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's been your gym experience, would you say, of your life?
Yeah, I was gonna say too, like, just yeah, I think it's really important that people find something that they enjoy, you know, whether it's even like yoga.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be great. Yeah, a lifting workout.
Or like, do you know Gabor Mate? Is you heard of him?
I've heard of him. I don't really
doesn't matter, he's a guy and he's an older man, but he like swims all the time. He loves swimming.
Okay.
Or like
that's my next yeah. thing.
Yeah.
Gotta figure out.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, the gym. There's so many different ways. Or just like going on runs or like walking. There's so many different ways.
Yeah. But like finding like a sport that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good mm-hmm. way.
Or like but yeah, so when I was like 14 or 15, I was like really heavy kid. Really heavy kid.
I heard that on a clip on your really? Instagram where you're talking about it. I did not know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was a really heavy kid because I loved playing video games. Absolutely loved them. Played so many video games. Loved them. Still love them to this day. Sometimes I'll play something, but loved video games and loved food. And that was, you know, so I was just a really big kid and I was really insecure about it. And then when I, I remember when I was like 15, I like cried to my dad about it because I don't know what stemmed that, but maybe it was like sports. Like I really sucked at sports. And I think I just expressed my insecurity, my dad about it. Mm-hmm. He actually started like running with me. We go to the gym and I'm just having these flashbacks. Yeah. I love you, Dad. Like, just, but he, that's when I was awesome. Like 15, yeah, he was like, we started like there's like a couch to 5K program. I actually lost some weight doing that. And then I got a personal trainer, absolutely despised it. Mm. Despised it. Mm-hmm. I mean, going to the gym was the most, I hated it so much because I mean, I'm just, my self-esteem, my confidence was shot because I mean, especially in a gym surrounded by people who are, you know, fit
in and, shape. Yeah.
Yeah. Just so like that is a shitty feeling, man. So I can sympathize with anyone who does not want to go to the gym because it's like it sucks. And you suck at all the movements, everything. It's so hard. And it's like so yeah, I despise doing that. It wasn't until I was in college and I was I think 19. A buddy of mine and I Key, I'm gonna shout him out because I love Key. We were roommates and he was always very athletic and he took me. We started working out together.
Were you still overweight at that point?
Not really.
When did you lose that?
Damn,
weight?
That's not even like a good story. Like literally, when I turned like 16 or 17, I think it's because I picked up like nicotine, like vaping. I'm not kidding. Like I started vaping so fucking much. So I think that's what, because then I was like this chubby kid. And then when I turned like 17, 18, I turned 17, I like sprouted. I got tall. and I lost so much weight. I was just this scrawny.
So you just like changed body from 1 year to the shifted. Next.
It was crazy within a year or two.
Damn.
Okay. Weird. Yeah. But it was that was the nicotine. I had made no effort to eat better at all. So I just lost fat. Yeah. It was So going into college though, I was just really scrawny and like insecure. But one of my buddies helped me like get into the habit of going to the gym with him. That was really, and it was just like a on camp, it was our apartment gym. Mm-hmm. So that was nice having that encouragement, having someone to go with me.
For sure.
And then another roommate of mine, this was only a couple of years ago. We would work out together too. And we were working out very consistently together. So I think for me though, what I started enjoying it, like you said, I think when I started lifting weights with a friend of mine and then I started seeing my muscles growing, that was like, whoa. Or when I started running, I would start running. It was run like half a mile. And man, like I just would feel good. And I saw myself like losing weight, gaining muscle. And I was like, whoa, like it just felt really good. So I started becoming something I like wanted to do, and maybe for the wrong reasons, because it was mainly, I just really wanted to look good, which is like, I don't think that's a bad reason, but it shouldn't be like your only reason. But yeah.
I mean, that gets you to do it. I don't think.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a good way to get other
benefits on the side with it.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like, there's nothing wrong at all with that. I think some people think that like people who do that are like selfish. I don't know. I think it's great. It's important.
It's like, should I try to look bad? Is that what you're telling me to do?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, dude, it makes everything more fun. Like, I mean, dating is more fun when you feel good about yourself and how you look.
Yeah.
You're more attractive. It's like sex is more fun. You know, like, I mean, everything seems like it should be. I don't know. And it also, you can like engage in other like fun things, you know, like whether it's running, climbing, different sports, you know, everyone should be able to do all that. So I think fitness is super important, you know? But I'd say only like, I'm still trying to get like really consistent with like my routine. I don't have a really solid routine. I've just tried to go as much as I can. And it's not very regimented. But I try to be as disciplined as I can and try to go. And I've been trying to go more lately.
I would definitely recommend you kind of make a plan. It doesn't have to be like every day or whatever. But I would say you should have some type of like, I do this 4 days a week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that you can free up your mental space. So you're not constantly thinking about like, oh, when can I go to the gym next?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going enough. It's like you just decide, oh, I'm going to go these days.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about it now.
Mm. Dude, like, I don't like, do you feel like some days if you feel like you just really need the rest though, will you give yourself that day of rest? Or are you like, oh, I love that. You're like a solid fuck no. Okay. I like that. So it's more of like, you're going to stick to what you say. So do you typically plan out your week and say, I'm going to work out this day?
I work out every day.
Okay. Gotcha.
So it's just like a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
I just work out every day.
You're going to get there.
And I have like kettlebells at home. So it's like, if I can't get to the gym, then I do it at home.
Gotcha.
So there's always a workout.
So the intensity and like what you do may change depending on how your body feels and everything, but you always make a point to work out some point during the day.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And again, I'm not killing myself in the gym. It's like, it doesn't have to be like, I'm typically not sore from workouts.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with leg workouts I do, because I didn't do legs for like 6 months and then I started again. And like, so,
you said sometimes leg warmups you don't do, what would you say?
No, leg workouts will leave me sore, because it's new. So, you know, when you don't work out a muscle for a long time and then you do one time, it gets really sore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just that muscle is not good at recovering itself. It's just not used to it. It's not practiced. And so for me, I ran the marathon in February, and I used that as an excuse to not do legs for like 6 months. and so then, and I really liked it. I like just did not want, I was like, fuck legs. Like, I don't want to ever do them.
That's like the stereotypical gym bro thing. That's not,
yeah, legs. You just do the, get yeah. big up top and mm-hmm. then have like chicken legs. Mm-hmm. But then when I came back to doing legs, then I would get really sore from like, just not even, it didn't even feel like I did that much in the gym. But then the next day I was like, holy shit, I can barely walk. But it's getting fun again doing legs, because I'm like doing squats and stuff and like watching my numbers go up, and mm-hmm. that stuff is really satisfying to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. How about diet? What's your diet? Dude, that fucking Chewy's yesterday destroyed me.
Really?
Yeah, I thought I had like food poisoning. It felt I had food poisoning for like 30 minutes and then I was okay.
No, I didn't notice anything like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
felt bad. So what's your diet typically like?
I try to eat pretty well. Like, Like, one thing I don't do, like, I don't ever like buy chips or anything like that, just because
I like that.
Yeah. I don't even like really like eating them anymore. Or like soda. Like, I never drink soda. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's because, I don't know, I used to be like really, really hooked on them. And same with like Cheetos and stuff. Mm. I used to be just fucking hooked on them. So like
the hot Cheetos or just the straight up orange ones?
I don't know. Either.
Okay. Yeah. And then soda too?
Yeah.
Soda. I call it Pepper Pop, by the bad. Way.
Really?
Yeah. Pop. Dr. Pepper?
Pop. Yeah, Dr. Pepper was my thing. Oh my God. I would drink it every day. And it was so, like, so addicting. And, like, so now I just don't, I don't even drink it. And also because I get, like, migraines. And, like, so sometimes when I drink too much sugar, like, I get, like, really bad headaches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but I try to eat, like, pretty clean. I'm trying to think. I don't count my calories or anything like that. And I try to, you know, drink like a lot of protein shakes and stuff like that after workouts. Trying to think if like there's anything that stands out about my diet. Yeah, there's just certain, I just don't really buy snacks. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Because like, I'll eat them other than like fruit.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Because I used to just get in the habit of like, if I bring out a bag of chips, like I'm just going to finish it. Like, yeah. Like I was always like that. Like I've always been like that with like everything. Like I'm like my self-discipline is just really bad. So I just don't touch it.
Yeah.
Never touch it. And then I have no problem.
Okay. So, that's, yeah. That's the way I am too.
Yeah.
Mm. Like I can fucking eat.
Yeah.
So I'm the exact, like a lot of that stuff was the exact same. I don't buy any snacks. Mm. I think that the Pareto like 20/80 here is like just eat unprocessed foods in general. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my philosophy. It's like it doesn't have to be super complicated. Just don't eat all the processed stuff. Mm-hmm. I had people over like a couple weeks ago and I got like a bunch of tortilla chips and dip and stuff, and then like pretzels, and like my friends brought stuff. And dude, I ate it all, like all the leftovers. I ate in like
they left
2 days. Yeah, I was like, oh shit, this is not going to be good.
Gotta do something with it.
Yeah. So I was the same way. Like I'll just eat the whole thing. I'll eat all of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I never buy that stuff for myself. Yeah. Do you have any other like specific, like what's your typical like protein, carb?
I can tell you what I eat every day. It's the same. Not the same thing, but it's generally pretty similar.
Okay, what is it?
I pretty much eat eggs
in
the morning. Like sometimes I do sweet potatoes and eggs. Dang. I love sweet potatoes. Eggs. Come on, Dalton. oats, I guess, sometimes. Okay. I'm like, do I only eat eggs? That's so boring. But like generally, yeah. Like I'll just mix some like sweet potatoes and eggs. Sometimes I'll put some cheese in it. Yeah. And then sometimes toast. I actually love toast.
Okay.
Toast, peanut butter, jelly, fruit, and oats sometimes. And then my dinners and lunches are like the same. I always will just like cook like turkey and beef or steak or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then throw in like rice or pasta,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe some potatoes, and then maybe then like some broccoli or like some squash or some other vegetables.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah. And then sometimes like bread or toast, things like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's like the same thing every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't ever really get very creative. Yeah.
No, me neither. I feel like there's some people who like cook up stuff and like they make like a real thing, but mm-hmm. that's not me either. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll cook. Yeah. I'll do like beef or chicken and then rice and then like some kind of vegetables and like that's, I'm good. Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
It's just like the, for me, it's like, it's just, I can't be thinking about like the whole thing I'm making every day. So I just like having it be simple and like, this is what I make. And then I know what it is.
Sometimes it is exciting though to like,
to make something,
to make some really creative thing.
Do you ever do it?
No,
because I don't either.
Maybe once.
It sounds fun.
Past year, like once or twice, maybe.
Even if I make something different, it's something I know is easy. That like, yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I said that. I haven't made anything creative. Actually, the last thing I did was like a friend of mine invited me over for dinner
mm-hmm.
with some people. So I brought like, what did I do? It was good. What did I do? I think I did sweet potatoes. Just cooked a bunch of sweet potatoes. And then, oh, and broccoli. And like cooked them together. And then I laid them down in the dish. And then I put like cheese on it. And I made a casserole. It's not creative. But it was okay. Really good. Like, it was damn good. Yeah.
I think dating, having a girl like
makes these
things. You end up doing more stuff. And in general too, like, I just do more cool stuff when I like have someone who I like want to do it with.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, like I've been kind of that way too. Like a routine is like pretty satisfying to me. I feel mm-hmm. pretty cool with that. And then like if I've ever dated someone there and they want to try something new or they want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like that or often. Do you?
Yeah. I think it's fun mixing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like not every night. I don't want to cook something right. crazy every night.
Right. There's a weird balance there
yeah.
where you're like, okay, this is fun, but I do want to get back to my routine.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to find someone who kind of like has respect for it.
Mm-hmm. Cause there's, it makes sense. Like the foods that I eat, like I really like them and they serve me well, you know?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I don't mind playing around with things, but like I want to hit like certain bases or like check yeah. off certain boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. 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 What is your typical dinner? Like what will you cook for dinner? I'm just curious.
Dude, my meals don't really like line up all the time.
Okay.
But like lunch is okay. here, dinner's okay. here. It's like,
gotcha. Do you not today, have like a breakfast?
I usually eat breakfast, yeah.
Okay.
So I've been trying to do this thing where I eat like heavy breakfast and then like lighter throughout the day.
Gotcha.
So my breakfast, I do oatmeal and then I'll usually do eggs if I have eggs. Like sometimes I'll run out of eggs and then it's like,
fuck.
Next grocery store visit, I'll have eggs again.
Yeah.
I used to eat an insane amount of eggs. Like I don't think you would believe me if I told you how much. I think my record in a day was 27.
How much was that? Oh my god.
27 eggs.
Fuck.
Now I eat like 3 to 6 in for breakfast.
Okay.
I'm not pushing and I don't break 20 anymore.
I had a friend I have a friend. I haven't talked to him in a while, but in high school, who was a very, very strong guy. And he was very simple diet. And he just told me every morning he would eat 6 eggs. Mm-hmm. And I remember at that point in my life, I was like, that's a lot of eggs every morning. Wow.
But six is a good number.
Yeah.
No, I got to a point where I was eating them in batches of 9.
Like, that was you would number. Like cook them and set them aside?
No. Or when I had eggs, I would eat 9 of them. And so I had 9 for breakfast. That's a lot. And then at some other point in the day, I had 9, and then I had 9 again. So
damn, that's a good amount of eggs. It's a lot of protein.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, but that's my breakfast. It's like oatmeal, like protein oatmeal. I've been putting this new supplement in there. It's called Tungkat Ali.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It tastes terrible. It's like so bitter and like...
Checking boxes, baby.
Yeah.
It's practical though. What does it do?
It's apparently like boosts testosterone.
Okay.
Something like that. So I've been experimenting. I don't know if it's working or not. But I have that. I have like cinnamon and turmeric in there too.
Gotcha. And your eggs? And
some other... In the oatmeal.
Oatmeal. Gotcha. Okay.
Dinner / lunch, I'll usually do either like ground beef and vegetables with rice or chicken vegetables with rice, which I usually just do frozen vegetables because it's just easier.
Simpler, yeah.
Much easier.
How do you feel about pasta?
I definitely like it. I don't know. I feel like it isn't the best for my stomach. Like it doesn't digest easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of why I was asking. Cause like, I feel like I've kind of had that issue too.
Yeah.
And like there's a guy that I listen to, who says that like when he eats too much carbs, like pasta or other carbs, like bread or pizza, he'll feel depressed. Like it affects his emotions and the ways he feels.
Interesting.
And I was like, shit. And I started realizing that. And I think that affects
me. I love pasta. That.
So good.
Dude, but I had a lot of on Sunday I went grocery shopping and usually I don't eat like pasta, but I was just like, I'm going to have it today. Mm-hmm. And I cooked like a whole pound of spaghetti and it was so good. But then I did have that kind of like drop in mood.
Yeah.
I do know with carbs for me, I try to prioritize a walk after carbs because you get that blood sugar spike. And if you don't manage that by like doing something, then you have a drop right after. And that's why you get like really sleepy after eating like carbohydrate heavy meal.
So like blood sugar spike, you mean like, when you're kind of almost feeling a little high, like not high, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
You're high. You have like a lot of energy.
It makes you almost feel happy. Sometimes I feel happy. Yeah. I'm like, wow. And then yes, exactly. And then
you have like fifth fall.
And then I feel
like, when I go to sleep.
Yeah. Damn. I never heard. Okay.
Cause I had a period of time where I was like, I have to nap every day, but it wasn't, I didn't have to nap. I was just having a sugar crash. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to like go walk it off.
Okay.
So I would just like take my dog for a walk every time I had a big meal. And then.
So when your body is feeling all that, you should go and use it.
Go use it somehow.
Okay.
You could like also go work out, but
yeah,
a walk is easier.
That's really useful. Because I love like protein smoothies. I love them. I'll throw like a shit ton of like frozen fruit in there and then whatever else. I love them, but. I drink them and then for about 10 or 20 minutes, I feel fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like I'm so happy. Like I almost like, I think I've done that once on a podcast. I made a protein smoothie. So I sifted during the podcast because I felt like so good. But then I would just crash like so hard to the point where it just like, I just kind of quit drinking them. Cause I'm like, oh, all the fruits, too much sugar. I can't deal with it. Maybe I'll try that. Maybe I'll combine it with a little walk.
Yes. You want to get a walk in. Okay. Cause then you get you get to control your, and that's actually a signal of, I shouldn't even talk about this. I don't know enough about it. I was reading a book about, endurance runners, like doing like ultra marathons, and it showed their blood sugar over time. and the more elite one had like smaller spikes in their blood sugar, like it was more regulated.
Okay.
Just because their body was better at like using their fuel and not like freaking out and then dropping. And then...
So using their fuel, like
your body just gets better at using the fuel without like, again, like spiking,
without not knowing what to do with it. And...
Yes. And getting all like jittery. Okay. And whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Have you ever done any fasting?
A little bit. I don't ever do that anymore, but I did for a little while.
Okay.
I think, yeah. Why do you do? Is that what you do?
I do 3-day fasts.
Oh, really?
Every month. Yeah.
You might have told me that. That's another thing that
I got one coming up, dude. I'm kind of nervous because I do it every month, and uh-huh. So I try to do it early in the month just to get it out of the way. So my April one is coming.
Damn.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why do you do that?
I'm crazy, dude. I'm just, it's a longevity thing. It's good for you to have periods of no food. And I don't really like intermittent fasting. I used to do it, and then I just would rather not. I would rather just eat kind of freely, and then have these like windows where I just don't eat.
Yeah.
So that's the main reason. I also just like challenges. Like I don't know if it's a good thing, but like these things, where it's like, this is something super hard that I'm going to do. It makes me like have more self-worth.
Sure. So
I'm like, I can do a fucking hard thing.
Of course. Yeah.
So I like that aspect of it. And then there's like it's like a mindfulness practice, fasting. It's like a 3-day meditation basically where I've realized it's way worse when you think about food. If you don't think about food, it's pretty chill. Imagine. Yeah. It's not bad if you cannot think about food. Like the feeling of hunger is not, it's not bad. It's just a feeling. But it's when you're like, oh dude, I'm gonna have steak and potato, like, and you're like dreaming about food. If you don't,
I know what you mean though. Yeah.
So it's all a practice of not thinking about when am I gonna eat, and instead thinking about what do I feel in my body right now? How can I be okay with this? How can I enjoy this moment instead of thinking about the future? Which is just like a good general thing, is
definitely
not to get too obsessed with what's coming, and instead be like, okay, what's good about right now?
Yeah, that relates to like approaching, you know, getting, you know, like not, it's very different, but not yeah, how does that relate? I guess like dealing with like rejection, seeking validation. I don't know, it's sort of a mental thing.
Okay. And there's a thing where here's how I could tie that in. Mm-hmm. You could tell yourself, like, how could I be okay with just this interaction? Because there's a thing in us where we're like, oh, I want it to be more. I want to go on a date with her. I want her to like me. If instead you just say, how can I just enjoy this moment, this interaction with her? That could kind of tie into the, like, fasting, being okay with the right now without needing to think about the future. Mm-hmm. Which actually is a really good method. It's a really good mindset for approach, is like being like, how can I just have fun? Or with the dates, like with first dates especially, I think that's the best mindset going in, is like, how can I just have fun on this date? Mm. I don't care what happens. Like, how can I just enjoy it? How can I have fun with this? Mm-hmm. It makes the whole process better, and like you end up being more attractive. Yeah, because you're just a fun guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to sound like a stupid question.
Go for it.
But because I feel like I know the answer. But how do you think people typically approach a date, for example? Or as you're saying, approach it like you just want to go have fun. You just want to go have fun with this person, have a good time. Mm-hmm. Like that should be fucking obvious, you know? But like, why, what are people doing?
Because there's so much more. It feels like there's so much more at stake. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about, it's your entire like self-worth, it feels like, because this person is judging you, like, is this someone I want to be with? And so it feels like
that's true.
My entire being is going to this to be judged and decided on if I'm worthy of love or not. And so it's like, that's a fucking scary, like, that could create a lot of anxiety if you're thinking about that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and so that's where...
Damn.
Yeah, trying to get out of that. And I've had that.
Yeah.
Definitely have had that. Still have that sometimes.
Yeah, it just goes back to deriving your sense of self-worth from in here.
Yeah.
Asking yourself, what do you want? And then from that place... going and having fun, setting that intention to go have fun. Yeah.
It's like, I want to feel good. And having fun feels good. I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
Any other? Okay. The one other health and wellness thing is sleep. That's the one I've been trying to focus more on, because I eat like a fucking maniac. Like, it's bad.
Like very strictly and regimented. Like,
no, like a crazy person. Like, I eat too much.
Oh, okay.
Like when you were talking about like, oh, I love to eat. I was like, yeah, dude, me too. That's me.
Okay.
Yeah, I love to eat. And so the thing I've been working on is just not eating before bed. So giving myself like a window. And Forrest from, I mean, you know, Forrest, he told me this framework that stuck with me, which is, he said like 3-2-1. It's like 3 hours, no eating, 2 hours, no drinking water. 1 hour, no light, no like blue light.
I love that. Yeah.
And so now I'm trying to stick with that. And so with the eating, I've been doing that.
2 hours, no water?
2 hours, no water. So you want to make sure you get all your water in during the day.
No. I need to drink more water during the day because I'm always thirsty at night. And I'm...
Oh, okay. I can help you with that.
Okay.
You're probably mouth breathing. You wake up really thirsty.
Oh, dude. I really hope I'm not doing that because I feel like I try not to.
Do you wake up thirsty, though? Is it like where you're like, oh, I really want some water right now?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay, maybe you're not then.
I think it's like before I go to bed, I'm always drinking water.
Okay. That's,
different.
Okay, never mind.
No, because like, I want to be honest, my ego kind of got attacked there. Cause like, I definitely don't fucking do that.
Like, I'm fucking mouth breathing?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't think I did. No, I don't think so.
This is a weird habit I have. I tape my mouth when I sleep.
I think maybe you were the one who was telling me that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, when people hear that, they're like, okay.
I don't think it's weird. Yeah, I've heard.
It's so helpful because, like, nose breathing is so important. And another one, snoring. Like, I heard this on a podcast. He was like, snoring is not benign. Like, it's not like, oh, I snore. It's like, no, dude, you're not sleeping. That's like, it's not, so bad for you.
When you're snoring, you're not sleeping?
You might be sleeping. It's not good sleep, for sure.
Yeah, because you're breathing through your mouth, right? That's what's...
And you're not getting, like, air either.
Yeah.
It's I think it's you're like swallowing your tongue too. Like your tongue is blocking your windpipe. It's not good.
Have you read the book called Breathe? Yeah, it's up there. By James Nestor.
No, I haven't. I have read the Wim Hof method.
James Nestor wrote a book about,
I think my mom might have read that. She told me about it. Okay.
He did like a lot of studies on that about how because he was a mouth breather, and I think it affected his jaw. Like, his jaw was like, I don't know.
If you see a mouth breather, like, you know what it is.
Yeah, and their front teeth typically, like, yeah. But I think there's been studies that have been done that, like, show that by doing things like that, like taping your mouth when you sleep, so make sure you're breathing through your nose, and by relearning how to do that, like, it'll change the structure of your face. Which is crazy.
Yeah, there's something called mewing.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you like use your tongue to like push against the roof of your mouth, basically.
Is it like an exercise?
It's...
Or is that like the disorder?
No, it's a good, that's a good thing.
Okay.
It's like an exercise, but it's also like just naturally, you should always have your tongue on the roof of your mouth.
Really? Okay.
Yep. And that, again, it helps your teeth like spread out in the right position and then your jaw's correct and all that. Yeah. I don't know a lot about the, like, my mom was telling me, because she might have read that book or something similar, where it was like talking about how like all of orthodontia and all the like stuff we're doing like fix our teeth is because we're not breathing right.
Wow.
But it's like, if we're just breathing right, then our teeth would be aligned. Wisdom teeth, like, we're like taking them out.
They supposed to grow in?
I think they're just supposed to stay there. I still have mine. Do you have yours?
I got them removed.
You got them out?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm rocking with mine.
Oh, damn. Yeah, no, I think that's damn it.
Yeah, I shouldn't have called you a mouth breather. That's too far.
Yeah, dude. no, yeah, because I've like literally read about like how bad that is for you. But like, I'm like super passionate about that. Like, no. Breathe through my nose.
It's good for your, like, when I was swimming yesterday, you have to breathe through your mouth. Mm-hmm. And so my heart is going crazy, because like when you breathe through your mouth, it affects your heart rate. And I was like, how, like,
I think one time I was swimming and I was like taking note of that, and I had to breathe through my mouth, and I was like getting really upset about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a little too overly like,
but it's I'm the same way. Like, yeah. Running, I'm always like, breathe through your nose only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that study, it's a good book. It's like what they did was they studied for like a week straight, they shut their nose and they only breathed through their mouth.
Okay, I think this was the same book.
And they
saw the effects
of it over like the course of a week or something like that, and they got like so sick and all this stuff. Yeah, so I think totally it's very important. Yeah. Yeah, but with my sleep too, like I've been trying to get more sleep lately, because I feel like 8 hours just like isn't enough for me. Like, I don't know about you, but like that, I genuinely, I don't feel well rested. I don't know. Is there anything else you do to try to get good sleep?
I mean, I feel the same way. Like, I feel like I need 9 mm-hmm. hours. What I've been doing lately is I realized with my life, I don't need to wake up at a certain time. Mm. So I just don't set an alarm. Mm. On days when some days I have to, but
yeah,
a lot of days I can let myself just sleep. But yeah, I think that wind down is really, really key. It's like that. So I do the 3 hours of not eating. And then maybe I keep working or I'm doing whatever, but then, and then with 1 hour left, I like light candles and I shut off all the lights, no screens. And then I find whatever I want to do. I'll read or play piano or something.
You play piano?
I play a little bit of piano. Yeah.
So you're pretty good.
No, I'm not good.
I feel like people will say, oh, I kind of do it.
I play there's like a couple pieces I play, mm-hmm. and I have a bad habit of not learning new stuff, because I'm like, well, I like playing these. My hands know how to do it. And it's hard to learn new. It's like frustrating.
Yeah.
But that's so cool.
Yeah.
I'll do something like that where it's like a chill activity.
Mm-hmm.
And that wind down, I think, is really, really key mm-hmm. for sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Been trying to do the same thing recently too. Like, find good ways to wind down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to read. And then same thing, candles, taking a bath is sometimes. Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Dude, I don't take enough baths. That's nice.
Yeah. But read audiobooks.
I took one after the marathon. That felt good.
Oh, damn. How was that?
The marathon? Yeah. Can we take a break?
So I think we were talking about your marathon.
The marathon, yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, fucking... I think everyone should try it.
Yeah, dude.
Just like try running a marathon. I didn't hit the time I wanted. My feet were what stopped me this time. Like, my feet started feeling like they were just breaking. like every step, which is pain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did. So I quit caffeine for the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And that day I had like a, you know, Celsius, the energy drink. Yeah. Okay. I have like the packets. And so I had one of those, and at mile 20, I was like, at mile 20, I'll have that. That'll get me through the final 6 miles. I got to mile 20 and then I had it, and then like it didn't give me the, like, my feet still fucking hurt. Mm-hmm. It didn't help that. But yeah, I ended up having to like walk run the last however many miles. And yeah, but dude, it's a fucking mental battle.
I can imagine. Yeah. Had you done it before?
Yeah, I've done two others.
Wow. That's awesome.
Before.
I would love to do that. I think I will do it one day.
Right, but you're locked in.
Yeah. I'm not there. Yeah, that's tough. It's tough. Did you train pretty consistently for it?
No.
You just did it? Just show up?
I was running like 3.5 miles most days.
Dog. I mean, shit. Wow, that's really... My God. Okay.
Dude, that's what I was thinking I would do with this triathlon, but...
What, train?
Not train. Or... And then I realized that I'll probably drown if I don't train.
Yeah.
You have to train to
swim. I would have loved it. You were just gonna... So it's a good thing you went swimming yesterday.
Because I did like two laps and I was gonna die.
Oh my God.
Like, I barely made it back. I did a lap down and then started swimming back, and like halfway through on the way back, I'd like,
stuff.
I don't know how to get back. And I made us go in a deeper... The lanes start at like 4 feet and they go up to like 8 feet. And I was like, if we go in 4 feet, I'm just going to stand up. Like,
where'd y'all go?
Deep Eddy.
Okay. I've heard of that. Yeah. I haven't been there.
And so we were in the deep part. So I was like, fuck, I have to finish this.
How far is the triathlon to swim? How far from?
This one is 0.9 miles.
Okay.
It's like 1.5 kilometers. And it's like 44 lengths of the pool where we were. And two was hard.
Yeah, that's wild. I'm sure you'll do it.
I'm going to do it.
I know you will.
I'm going to figure it out. And I really want to beat Cyan now.
Yeah. That's motivating you.
That's really motivating me. Yeah.
Hmm. Damn. Yeah, I find that pretty crazy that you just showed up to the marathon. I think like the most I've ever run is a little over 3 miles.
That's the most.
Yeah. I'm pretty proud of that. Yeah, like, I shouldn't be proud of that. No, like, I shouldn't be proud of it. Depends on who you ask. Like, it depends on who you ask, because some people don't run at all. I've never been a runner. So, that to me, like, I'm pretty happy with that because I've always hated running.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really recent. But so I'm going to move into more. And I've, like, when I've run that far, like, I feel fine. You know, like, I feel tired. Like, I don't want to run anymore. But, like, it's not that hard. You know, so I know I can run farther.
Yeah.
It's more of a mental battle than a physical battle at that point, you know?
Yeah.
But I definitely could not run a marathon right now. I could, but I would, you know, get
very injured. The trick is you sign up far in advance.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, I signed up for this one, like, last year.
Yeah. That's what I was, yeah.
And then... The day before, you kind of have that moment where you're like, oh, fuck, I have to run a marathon tomorrow.
Well, yeah. Or you could, like, think about it from a year from now and then start training.
Oh, no. You sign up you do a year ahead so that you're locked in. You're like, no, I have to do it.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to think about it until right before.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask you these are a few questions I've thought about to sort of tie it up as we're coming towards the end. Well, actually, is there anything else you want to talk about? Or is there any other things you were hoping to get to?
I feel like we've gotten some to yeah. a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
What are your questions? Maybe that'll bring up more.
What I wanted to ask you was, what areas of your life are you most, when you look back on the past year of your life, what are you most proud of for doing or changing or anything like that? Are you most like, fuck yeah, Will?
The fact that I'm like on here right now is pretty vastly different from where I would have been last year. If I had told myself then, oh, you're going to be on like a, you know, anything public, I'd be like, oh, no, I won't. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I've been able to open myself up and be, yeah, just okay with who I am, that's been huge. Because like the first thing I think of when you say that is like, oh, what things have I done? What have I accomplished? Mm-hmm. But I don't think those are nearly as big as, yeah, this change I've made, which all started with meeting Tim. That was like the change that happened. That's when I started trying to date more, trying to approach more, building more confidence in myself and getting to the point where now I feel much more comfortable being vulnerable, like admitting things about myself that in the past I would have tried to hide. So, yeah.
So not just like, so like there are some things that you've done that you're proud of, but it's also just like the way you show up in the world now and the way you carry yourself has changed. And
yeah. So the thing I've done that I'm proud of, like,
yeah, you don't have to bring anything up like that if you don't want to, but yeah, if you
I feel like there anything. Are a bunch of little steps along the way. Mm-hmm. But I guess deciding to accept help from Tim as like a coach, that was something I never would have considered before. So just the fact that I did that, I'm not even like proud of myself, but I'm more just like, thank God that that happened. Because there are like a lot of ways that that could have gone where I wouldn't have had that happen. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then what the other way around is like, okay, this is like looking back now, like what are you most excited about? Like, what are you hoping to do or going how are you hoping to change as a person or what do you want to accomplish this coming year?
Ooh, okay.
What are you most excited about?
I mean, we kind of talked about this yesterday, but like putting myself out there more. Mm-hmm. In terms of what I can help people with and what's, yeah, I feel like I've done a lot of work on myself to where now I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. let me see what I can do with other people to help them. So putting myself out there more, and yeah, seeing where that goes.
How are you going to put yourself out there more?
Dude, I created my Instagram yesterday. Yeah. I got to delete the app though.
Sorry, what?
What?
You said you created your Instagram?
Yeah.
But you're going to delete the app?
I'm going to delete the app. Dude, I'm going to schedule it out. I don't ever want to look at that. Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, and I don't want to.
It's like having the chips in our pantry.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want Instagram on your phone because you'll fucking start scrolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm considering like just never even looking at any kind of analytics. Like I don't care how many likes I'm getting. I'm just going to post.
Focus on post. Content consistency.
Exactly.
Let it do its thing.
Yeah.
Love it.
So that's one way. I guess just like telling people what I do and offering to help people if I think they might be able to use my help. Which is something I've been bad at. What?
Go ahead.
It's, yeah.
Putting you on the spot here. But yeah, like what are you wanting to offer?
Oh, you're saying to say it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, like,
I offer your services.
Yeah. I help guys build confidence through mm-hmm. fitness and dating. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy telling you that, but I want to actually offer it to people. Be like, dude, like I can help structured.
You mean like get better at just making it a part of who you are and like speaking it out more to people? Or do you mean like having a program or like both?
I mean, literally telling people, if I see a guy who I think could use this, being like, dude, like, do you want this?
Yeah.
I can help you. Do you want this?
Yeah.
Rather than being like, oh, there's this thing I do and I just talk about it.
Come to it. Yeah.
But I don't ever like directly be like, do you want this?
Let's work together. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And that is like just another fear of rejection that I have. So I think I have to just get over that one too. Get rejected a little bit.
Are you comfortable afraid of rejection from the people who you offer it to?
Yeah.
Or so yes. And then also then there's like rejection of people when you tell them that you do this for work.
Or oh, that one
coach.
I don't think that one bugs me as much. Maybe a little bit, but
it's more so like when you offer your services.
I've kind of accepted that this is what I do.
Yeah, because you already kind of have like your Instagram and your podcast. It's like you're already kind of doing this. You're just not offering it directly to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man.
But it's, yeah, it's coming down. It's going to come down to owning exactly what we were talking about yesterday. Owning this is what I do. And
I can help you.
Similar to like when you approach a girl and you're like, I want to take you on a date. I could see us having a great time, but you're not like, you're owning that. So mm-hmm. I have to own the fact that I think I could help you. And yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to this year.
I'm looking forward to watch it grow.
Heck yeah. It's exciting.
Heck yeah, dude. Yeah. Okay. Where can people find you? You just kind of explained your program, but where can people find your podcast, the meetup, and then also your Instagram if you want to shout it out?
Yeah. The podcast is, The Art of Approach. We're on all big platforms. Mm-hmm. The meetup. So if you're in Austin, Texas, you can either go through theartofapproach.com. You should be able to put in your information there. Or you can find us on Meetup, dumping dating apps. And then my Instagram, 3 followers in.
You made it yesterday, right?
Yesterday, yeah.
Well, if someone listens to this in however long, that could change. So
it's will
change.
willpower_lifestyle.
Willpower lifestyle.
And then you can also find me on Tim's Instagram, the_approach_coach.
Okay.
And I think that's everywhere.
What's Tim's last name?
Tim Bray. Bray.
You got to shout him out.
Yeah. He's the man.
He's the co-host and also, yeah, the guy who got you into doing this stuff. So.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It's awesome, dude. Sweet, dude.
Cool. Thanks for having me, Dalton.
Yeah, man. I appreciate
you. Great.
Appreciate you coming on. Oh, yeah. Peace, guys.
All right. Bye, everyone.